you don't know what I've been through. Don't judge me, cause you got a past too. I know you don't know, but he knows, he knows, he knows.
Yeah, they ruin the view, you watching this. Say I'm doing the fooling, it's obvious. Say I'm losing it too, like property. They ruin my mood with this gossiping. Hating this, in the heat of the moment where Satan is. Accusing me of nothing, that's a bait and switch. Making this hard for a person in this place to live. My God. I'm working like I ain't got nothing. Cantaloupe, you might drop something and you can't hide, so stop running. I got it. That's a lie that we tell ourselves, and I guess it's hard for you to ask for help. But in that moment, that's when you fail. One slipping, they judging. But it's standing like they ain't done nothing. I make no excuse, but I refuse to lose some dudes without a clue of what I've been through. From where I'm coming, no lie, I should have been done it. I'm working at it, I ain't perfect at it, and I say this every time.
Yo, 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 yo. It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. Man, 2 weeks in a row. That's all I got to say, man. Two fangs in there.
We in here, baby. We in here.
Two weeks in a row. We serious, man. We trying. We trying. You know, what do they say in church? I may not be what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be.
Come on, now. You better come on, Kingpin. Come on.
Preach, preacher. Big Drake, man. How's it going, bro? How's your week?
It's been a long week, man. It's been a long week, man. Some crazy stuff happened to me today at work.
Uh-oh.
It's just, oh, it's, oh, man. It got to the point where, I was in the captain's office with, I don't know if you remember, years and years ago, how I had troubles with a certain individual at the academy.
Uh-huh.
Well, she got moved to investigation for like a 6-month period. They call it career development.
Yeah.
Where they take a supervisor out of patrol and stick them in investigations for like 6 months or so.
Okay. Try to expand them.
Huh?
They try to expand them, try to grow them a little bit.
Yeah, so they can understand what we do because for whatever reason, people in patrol just think our biggest discussion of the day is what we eat for lunch. Sometimes we don't get to eat lunch, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, I'm not going to get all into it because that would be a whole show by itself.
Wow.
But it's to the, you know how direct I am.
Yeah.
You know, me and Captain, we so tight now. I damn the cassette. Oh, excuse me, listen. I thought I was talking to my boy. I forgot I was recording the show for a thing. I can pretty much say what I want. And I was, you know, the three of us were in there, me, the captain, and her. And I'm like, are we seriously having this discussion? This is just petty. This is ridiculous. I got time that I need to be training a new guy, working cases, following up on stuff, but yet I'm wasting my time and it's off talking about this foolishness.
You didn't pull one of those on her, did you?
Yeah, sure. I had to get ready to cry. Hey, people, listeners, if you ever, like, it, make sure you're right, though. Make sure you're right. Don't be trying to make somebody look stupid and you did wrong.
That's right.
You're right. But if you're right, do start asking that person questions and make them answer it right there. Since they're, I wouldn't say accusing, but
since they're pressing the issue.
Right. They let them explain and ask questions. And I started, you know, I started interrogating them a little bit. I'm like, so you're saying this? Well, no. I said, well, you just said this, so which is it? Well, I said, so what it boils down to is, you don't like the fact that I just told you something. I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't out the way. You even on the fly agree with it, but just because it came from me and we got history, I said, I ain't got time for this. This is petty. I said, now, you gotta look yourself in the mirror and pray to whoever God you pray to and deal with your own issues. I gotta move past this. And you need to move past it. I'm done with it.
Bro, you really think she's still harboring some the issue y'all had back at the academy?
Yes.
Wow. Dude, how long has it been since you went to the academy?
12 years. Because 12 years.
You know, I know we usually give our moment at the end, but this is a teachable moment right here.
Yeah.
People, you know, I taught my teens this last. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, the art of forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. Because, see, when you hold grudges, when you hold anger, you can be holding anger against somebody about something that they don't even know nor care you got a problem with. And so the only person that's being troubled by the issue you holding is you.
Is you?
Sometimes you got to let some stuff go, not for them, but for you.
Well, for you. For you. Like, I have no ill will. I mean, I don't wish this happened, or I wish she don't get this. Like, I don't care. I hope she lives a very prosperous life. Hey,
Big Drake, to be very honest, do you even think about her?
No. I mean, now, I will say this. Now, I'm a firm believer, and this is also a teachable moment. This, you know, I think, you know, the Bible says love everybody, even your enemies. And I truly believe you should love everybody. But you can love people from a distance.
And there's some people you ain't like, got to like. I ain't got to like nothing about you. I ain't got to like your ways. But I can love you.
Yes. So, I mean, as long as come work time, we can be professional, we can be cordial.
Right.
And victim or the citizens of Lee County have no idea we have an issue. Cause, I mean, I don't have an issue. I have no idea we had a past. Yes, I will say this. Is people might say, well, Drake, if you ain't got no issue, you would do this. Well, like I said, I'm loving from a distance. Like, if I see her in the hallway, I'm not going to say nothing to her. She's not going to say nothing to me. Now, if she does speak, which occasionally she will, I'm not going to not speak. I'm not type of girl. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? But I'm not going to invite her to my wife's baby shower. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So, and then, of course, I talked to Catherine afterwards, and we had a long discussion, and she ended up telling him about the situation in the academy.
Wow.
And he said, Drake, whether you believe it or not, this is a real issue. That incident that y'all had, you really, truly hurt her feelings. It wasn't a situation where she was pissed.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, everybody has situations. Me and you didn't have situations. Right. We talk about it and move on. But it's different when a person's feelings are truly hurt.
Yeah.
And she hadn't gotten, I'm like, well, shoot, like I said when she was in here, she got some personal stuff she needed to deal with because I'm good.
Well, you
and know, I think me being good with it also pisses her off more.
It makes her
mad more. I'm going to get hurt, and he just acting all hunky-dory.
He don't even care that he hurt my feelings.
Mm-mm. Because listeners, just to give you a quick snippet, and okay, I'm in the academy. This is how my law enforcement career starts. With 2 weeks left, they were gonna kick me out the academy because of her. And listeners, I don't want you thinking it was some sexual stuff. Nah, I was coming on to her. We were good. Nah. It wasn't nothing like that because she's a lesbian. So there you go.
She don't like nothing you got to offer.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But, we're not going to bring that negativity into the main radio
but
show.
But you know what, Big Drake? I want to say this. So what came back last week, I went on a men's retreat. Absolutely amazing experience, man. Several guys from our church and some other visitors. Next year, man, if you have an opportunity, I'd love to invite you up, man. It's really a great experience. So we took a whole weekend up in Charlotte at a hotel up there. About 48 of us. 48 men. Man, really just having a great time fellowshipping, teaching, learning a lot, sharing a lot, really getting some release from God on some stuff. And somebody said one of the lessons was our homeboy of the show, Mike Perry, MP. MP taught the lesson on finding the true reason for your issue. And what his lesson really boiled down to is for men, it's usually easier for us to exhibit things that aren't really what the true problem is. So like in this instance right here, it would be easier for a man to exhibit anger because the show of our hurt feelings would show weakness for us. So thusly, we exhibit anger or we exhibit frustration or we may exhibit, it may come out in sexual, inhibitions, whatever, where the true issue, because the true issue is something, because of the manhood myth, we feel like we can't share the true issue. And so I really want to encourage listeners, man, you know, this young lady is taking out the true fact that her feelings were hurt and she hasn't had the courage to come up and talk about her feelings being hurt. But so what she's done is taken it and shown in so many other ways.
But you know why? I mean, just because, just the simple fact of everything you said is dead on. But another reason why, and just hear me out, listeners. I'm not trying to crack a joke here. I'm serious. The reason why she can't be truthful with her feelings being hurt, because they are, mm-hmm. is because her desire is to be a man. And men don't show their feelings. So in order, in her being man, because, you know, she's a female in a man-driven profession, in order her to establish her dominance, she's not going to come to me and have an adult conversation and say, well, Drake, you hurt my feelings 12 years ago when this took place.
Because she's trying to uphold an image.
Yes.
Or trying to go against a stereotype she feel would be brought on her if she let her emotions show.
Yes.
So, and that still, like I said, fits still perfectly, you know, and what the true thing that came down for us as men up there, man, many men shared some stuff, some deep stuff that they have never told anybody else. And what they came to realize was there's some other brothers that's been through similar stuff. And so all this time, the enemy has had them in hostage and bondage, thinking to be ashamed of what they felt. Or feel, or what they went through, and making them feel embarrassed and ashamed, thinking that they the only one. And what they come mm-hmm. to realize is we've all had stuff that happened, man. And yeah. so the only thing you can do is to forgive for yourself. You know what yeah. I'm saying? If it's an issue, get it out on the table, deal with it. But when you get it out, you can't get it out with the expectation that somebody else is going to care as deeply about it that you did. Because that's not going to happen. And if it doesn't, then your feelings going to be hurt all over again. So if you yeah. need to get out to clear your chest, to get it off you, get it out. But get it out with the expectation that, you know what, I want to tell you how it made me feel. Yeah, and I'm comfortable enough that even if it didn't make you feel that way, even if you don't apologize, I'm not telling you this for you. I'm telling you this for me. And I'm ready yeah. for the Lord to take me to another level in maturity. And so this is what I want to make sure that I get this off my chest. And, yeah. and we talked about, Leek, even in the workplace, I was talking about how I have this one person that he just knows how to push my buttons. It doesn't matter what goes on. This dude just knows how to push my buttons. And I said, you know, what I said, and so somebody was asking the question, you know, what happens when you got somebody and you know they're evil, they do this, blah, 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 and they, how they think about you, blah, 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 blah. And what I told them, I said, see, where God desires to get you is so, I said, everything you just told me about the isms that person got, God desires to get you to the point that you don't even see those isms. That yeah. what you see is every time you react, you go to God and say, you know what, God, why did I react like that? I must not be close enough. I must not look close enough to you yet. Help me see me so I can close that gap, because you would have never reacted like that. That's for me, man. That's when I'm growing. It ain't about yeah. you. It's about me. And it's about how is my walk shaping up, man. That deep conversation that we usually leave safe at the end of the show.
And man, I mean, you know me. If she righteously came to me and said, look, I need to talk to you, and you telling me you got a hurt feeling, I'm not the type that's going to be like, so, or ha, 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 yeah. Now, listeners, I will say, I'm not apologizing for Jack. I ain't apologizing for nothing. Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I would at least...
You would hear her out.
I would hear her out and empathize with whatever feeling she decided to, you know, express or whatever. And we would move on from it.
And you probably would share what you felt your side from how you seen the situation, too.
Naturally, yes.
And it
yes.
very well may be that both of y'all just seen something from a different perspective.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't invalidate either one of your feelings, but no, both of you had very valid feelings.
And, I mean, because Captain and I, we sat down, and after she left, we talked about it. We talked about everything, because she told him, you know, stuff that happened in the academy and all that. And I totally understand. I will say this, Captain, open my eyes, and you know, Lord is always working on me. He like, yeah. you know, like Steve Hall said, he ain't through with me yet.
Yeah.
Now, before today, you know me. If I'm through, I'm 100% through.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. And before today, if she had come to me and said, Drake, I want to talk to you, and people call me a butthole.
You would have spit in my face.
I try to pretend I'm not no butthole. I know I'm a butthole. I can be the biggest butthole there is, and I'm good at it.
I've admitted that's an issue for me sometimes.
Yeah. And before today, if she came, and this is just the God honest truth, And, you know, like I said, he's always working on me. He's changed me today. But before today, if she came and said, Drake, I want to talk to you about something, my first question would have been, is it work-related? And she would have said, no, I want to talk to you about something else. And I would say, well, stop right there, say that, because I ain't got nothing to say to you, and I really don't care what you got to say to me, and I would have walked off.
Hey, we ain't got nothing to talk about if it ain't work.
Yes, yes. But after today, because my captain and I talked about it, and we believe that we truly understand the root to her hurtness, and I understand it. But it wasn't, just like with anything like we're talking about, you know, what happened wasn't meant the way she took it.
That's right.
But she feels it some type of way. I'm not feeling some type of way because it wasn't even close to being what she think it is, not even a smidget.
And now it's infested with her. It's infested. It just sat there and ate up.
For 12 years.
That's
now, at the time, I'm not going to lie, I was pissed. I was hurt. Because, I mean, we're talking about, I'd have been in this academy 18 weeks. We got 2 weeks left, and they're about to kick me out.
Yeah.
And then the captain talking to me greasy. He's like, I'll send your black tail back to Lee County without a job.
Yeah, you.
And I'm like, whoa, why did that be my black butt? I mean, what's up with that? I mean.
You was 38 hot.
Well, we know what world was in, man.
You was 38 hot, Doc.
And she's a bullier. Like, she likes to bully people. Like, we get, like, new people on patrol.
Okay.
She has literally run so many people off. And I was talking to the captain, because he, you know, my captain has found this new spiritual place where he, I mean, I, the last couple of years, I've never seen him like this before. And we share a lot, you know, talking about God and what he has done for us and how he's moving us. And
man, that's, like, that's a blessing because your captain was a little greasy.
Yeah.
I mean, even hearing you talking, like, you and Captain had a call conversation, like a real one.
Yeah. And like I said, I say 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't tell me some stuff that he probably shouldn't have told me.
Right.
Just about everything that'd be going on in that place. But he was like, Drake, you need to forgive. I'm like, Captain, I mean, and this is what I was telling him. I'm like, I've forgiven her. There are different levels of forgiving. People think, well, in order to 100% forgive, you got to be sin. And, you know, I don't have no degree in theology or none of that stuff. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor. But I just personally believe that the Bible, then you know more about the Bible than I do, friend. You can enlighten me. You know, I'm open up to being corrected.
That's right.
I mean, I love her. I literally love her, and I don't want any
nothing
ill look to happen to her. If she has aspirations to be the sheriff one day, I hope she achieves those aspirations. I don't have no ill will toward her, but I don't have to hang out and kick it and fake and be like everything's all hunky-dory between us.
Nope. Because see, here's the, you know, and people always talk about you got to forgive and forget. Well, you know what? I haven't found that in the Bible. So, but what the Lord does tell you about not letting the sun go down on your wrath and several other things about how anger and hostility can deal and eat at us. And to your point, though, you know, what God does desire for us to do is, you know, are you willing to forgive? But to your point, sometimes you got to identify that, you know, your level of maturity may be best with that person kept at a distance.
Yeah.
You know, me and you know there is one person in my past life that I can never, ever have any interactions or dealing with again.
Yeah.
Ever. I can't be connected to you if you connected to that person.
Yeah.
If you and them is homeboy, homegirl, me and you are not cool. It's just we can't hang out, we can't talk, don't email me, no text. I can't have no dealings with it because there is something about their spirit that is not right for my spirit. And so, firstly, our spirits don't need to be connected.
And that's what I was telling Captain. I'm like, Captain, you know how big I am on positivity and rid myself of negativity? Like, she bullies people. Just because she has stripes, she talks to people like they're worth saying, and like I don't have to be cool. Why would I interject? I mean, okay, when you have an entire patrol division that may consist of 70 people, you know, including supervisors and patrolmen, and nobody likes that person, everybody ain't gonna like everybody. I get it.
That's Ted. You
said, when nobody likes somebody, there's a reason for it. Excuse me. I guess God's trying to tell me to shut up. Excuse me. But when nobody likes that person, there's a reason.
That's right.
And I don't have to be friend that person with all that negativity and backstabbing and all that, because they're not a good person.
Nah. Now, I can still have the love of Christ. If that person was ever in need or had to have me, I would still be there, do whatever I needed to be to do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we got to be cool. I mean, we ain't got to be buddy-buddy, you know what I'm saying, to love somebody.
Because I told Catherine, like I said, we got to kick in the dough and get the guns blazing. I'm going to have her back.
Got her back.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I got to do.
Yep.
But afterwards, I'm not going to say, hey, let's go have a meal together.
That's right.
I'm like, you good? You straight? Peace out.
Holla. All right, Big Drake, man, let's get into sports, man. And, you know, I wanted to get into college football first. We're going to get there. But as I'm sitting here, because, again, it's Thursday night, guys. Y'all probably going to hear this show on Friday. But it's Thursday night, and it just happened to be on Denver and Kansas City. And so that brings me to the topic that I got written down to talk about at some point tonight. Is it just me? Did you notice how Peyton Manning looks like Father Time?
Peyton Manning playing like Jeremy Johnson right now.
Brother, it has finally, I think age has finally caught up to Peyton. I mean, watching tonight, he just threw three straight passes that all three of them should have been picked. Two of them didn't get picked. All three of them should have been picked. I mean, it's like he's moving at, I don't even know how to equate. He's moving as if you were playing Madden 2015. Say your offense was Madden 2015 on PlayStation 4, right? Mm-hmm. And your defense was Super Tecmo Bowl. That's the difference.
And he's my quarterback in my fantasy league.
Oh my God, you got long. You better go and get a trade, baby.
And it happened so rapidly because you got to think, just 2 years ago, not last season, but the season before that, he was in the Super Bowl and broke all type of records.
That's right. I mean, he
because
is.
Because they were like, oh, he had the neck surgery. He's not going to be the same. He comes out, breaks all type of records, get his team to the Super Bowl. After that Super Bowl loss, because he played horrible in that
he
Super
did.
Bowl.
He played horrible.
After that Super Bowl loss, you know what it reminds me of? If you remind me, when the Orlando Magic went to the championship the first time with Shaq, and they had that first game won, but Nick Anderson, who was a great free throw, great free throw shooter, shot three-pointers and everything, he got to the line and missed four consecutive free throws. And that did something to his psyche where a couple years later he was out the league because he literally went from maybe a 92-94% free throw shooter to after he missed those four straight, he dropped down to like 48.
Nick Anderson went from averaging 16 points a game as a shooting guard to averaging four.
And that's kind of like what's happening with Peyton.
It has.
After that last Super Bowl, I mean, he's just been taken.
I thought, this summer he came out and said, I guess he, in his words, admitted that he wears a glove on his right hand because since the neck surgery, he has not had feelings in the tip of his fingers. You seen that?
Oh, wow. No, I didn't know that.
And he has no feelings in the tip of his finger. And I was wondering, I was like, did it just happen? But then he said it was since the surgery. So you can't blame that. But, when you think, dude, you have no feeling in it. How do you play quarterback?
Yeah.
And you don't have feeling in the tip of your fingers. That just kind of don't resonate with me.
Yeah, I'm a kicker, but I can't steal when I kick the ball.
That's right.
Huh? What?
So, I mean, I think it has. He one of the plays last week, man, when he came out the doggone, I think it was a middle screen or something, and he skipped the ball to the running back. He jump skipped the ball. I mean, he looks horrible. Peyton looks horrible.
He's picking up the joint now.
He is.
I didn't turn it to the college game. It's a better game than that game.
That's right. And so that you went on and made the connection, brother. I'm not gonna say on the radio show all the things that I wish would have happened to Jeremy Johnson Saturday, because I don't want anybody to think less of me. But Jeremy Big Drake in the fourth quarter, I wanted to bench Jeremy Johnson for some humility and go straight to the Wildcat with Peyton Barber running up the middle every play.
Oh, dude, I want to bench him before the fourth quarter. And guys, you know how I always have a story to tell. Well, of course, I'm at the game. Like, I'm at all home games. I left. And Kingpin knows, and the Made Men, not the Made Men, excuse me, the Goodfella line, they know. I actually thought we lost because I was so disgusted. One of the last interceptions he threw, I looked at my wife, and my wife disliked the story a couple of years ago I told you about the Georgia game.
Yeah.
How I'm upset, I'm ready to leave, but my wife likes to stay, you know, she likes to stay to the end, and same thing. I'm upset, I'm ready to leave, my wife wants to stay to the end, and it was one of those where I was so upset that I was going to leave my pregnant wife in the stand. And like, she saw it in my face, and she's like, all right, we going, y'all. She saw it because even if there was a cup, I mean, it's Jacksonville State. And okay, so I left. When I left, it was tied up.
Yep.
But he had just threw an interception. I'm walking down. I get out the stadium. I'm walking to my car. Then I can hear the crowd roar, but I can tell it's not the Auburn crowd because that's a different roar. We got 70,000 people there.
That's right.
Compared to, you know, 2,000 people, and I turn around, I can look up the position I am, I can see the top of where the Jack State fans are, and they just getting it up. I'm like, okay, they scored a touchdown. I know we got like 4 or 3 minutes left, whatever it is. That's game.
It was horrible.
So I walk to the spot where you take the shuttle. You know, it's game day, so you got to park 10 miles away.
Right.
So I walk to the spot where you catch the bus, and the bus will take you to your car, the shuttle. I'm on the bus, and, of course, there's Auburn and Jack State fans. And, you kind of felt bad for the Jack State fans.
Because they knew that, say nothing.
They want to get crunk. And they're like, I better watch what I say because they ain't nothing but Auburn fans. But you can tell, maybe the two friends were together. And you can tell they came to the game together. And one was a Jack State, one was an Auburn fan. And he's still looking up stuff on his phone. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, y'all played a great game. And Auburn guy was like, yeah, y'all deserve to win. And, like, just hearing them was pissing me off. This ain't not talking about the game. And you know, listen, you know, I'm not one of those irate fans, but it feels different when you play for the team and, you know, your alumni, of course. Yeah. So, I mean, I have some. And then, plus, you know, I went to every spring practice. I know those people personally, some of the coaches. Some of the coaches now were my former teammates back then. So, I mean, I just didn't want to hear it. So it got to the point where the bus driver was like, hey, does anybody want to be let off here? And then I heard, like, dumb, I can't think of his name. Rock Thomas fumbled on the five or fumbled something like that. I'm like, oh, Lord. So the bus driver was like, anybody need to get off here? That was not where I needed to get off. But I'm like, yes, I'll get off here because I didn't want to hear them talking about the dog on that anymore.
So you got off with your pregnant wife.
I said, babe, let's get off. She's like, with this, I said, babe, let's get off. Okay, I see him. I feel like I need to apologize for my wife and my actions.
The more I'm talking about it, the more you talking to, I hope you win an apology.
So, I get to my car. Of course, you know, I put on, I plug my phone in to listen to my personal music because I don't want to even get a damn from a radio station. Breaking news! In my mind, we lost. I get home. I don't turn on no football channels. I turn on a movie that's on my DVR. So while I'm watching a movie, I don't see no hop, no flash. Oh, Auburn's this. I don't want to hear none of that. So it's probably a good 40 minutes to an hour before my fraternity brothers are on this little group chat before I even realized we won. That's how disgusted I was. And listeners, Kingpin, I know I keep cutting you off.
Oh,
I'm trying to get my emotions out. So the whole time I'm trying to deal with it. I'm you know,
internalizing it.
Yeah, I'm trying to say it's only a game. It's only a game. But then you come back, it's Jacksonville State. I'm like, it's only a game. It's only a game. And this may sound selfish to me, but the only thing that really helped me cope with it, because I saw one of the players, excuse me, I saw one of the coaches Thursday at the barbershop. We chopped it up for a second. And the only thing that helped me get through it,
this may since I've gotten
in the coach, was to say, at least I'm not on that coaching staff right now. I'm like, I feel bad. I'm a former player. I'm an alumni. I love that team. I'm not a coach, though, who's making all that money and got to answer to some people like, how in the world did we just lose this game to Jacksonville State? Wow. And, dude, that put everything in perspective to me. I was okay. Yeah, we lost. This sucks. We're going to get joked for eternity. It's probably going to be like Appalachian State and Michigan. It's probably going to be like that. But at least I'm not on that coaching staff.
Oh. See, I thought the selfish moment would have been, you know what? I may get a job off this. Somebody getting fired today. Wonder who's getting fired this afternoon.
Ooh, I'm like, ooh, this might work out to my better. Yes. Ooh, this, yeah.
It was, though. It was horrible. And here's my personal piece. I feel so ashamed because I'm walking around talking about, you know, listeners, I go on.
Jeremy Johnson.
Yeah, I'm talking about Jay Johnson. I predicted this when we signed him, you know, that in 3 years he was going to be the one lead us to another championship. He's going to be the Heisman, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm thinking this dude is the savior. And he is playing like somebody made a great reference. He's playing like Kyle Frazier. You remember when we had Kyle Frazier?
He might be playing worse than Kyle Frazier.
I know. You know, Kyle Frazier came in, everybody's all the hype because he had ran Gus's offense in high school for 4 years. And, you know, he's the prototypical person for this offense, blah, 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 blah. You know, and he got in there looking like a fullback playing quarterback.
Yeah. Now, to his defense, when he came and finally took the reins, we went to a pro style, and we had Dum Dum running the offense because Marzon was at Arkansas State.
That's right. They hurt him.
Yes, that hurt him.
That's right. That's right. Because if he had a played under Gus, I think his outcome, I think it would have been different. Because he's one of those players, you can tell just his demeanor and everything. He's one of them. Once he was broken, that was it. He'll never be any good anymore.
Yes.
He can never restore his confidence.
Yeah. And then, you know, at one time, I'm like, well, we're going to put him at free safety. Like, yep. Come on, dog. And now he, I don't know where he is, but I know he transferred to a smaller school. He had like 500 yards passing a couple weeks ago or something.
Yeah, he bought out last year. He went for 2,000 yards passing and like 1,000 yards rushing or something. Wherever school he at.
Yeah.
So he did good. But that's for me. It's like, dude, I walked around all year talking about how great that you know, you done said as the understudy, and I mean that, you know, this will be the best quarterback in the country, blah, 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 blah. And to see him perform, and Drake, I think he's still a great, good quarterback. I think he believed his own hype.
Wayne Dickens is a guy who, for all you Auburn fans, in 2004, that undefeated team, that team that sacked Alabama's quarterback like 20 times,
that's right.
Wayne Dickens was the one who'd get that first sack and started it off. He lives in my neighborhood. We go jogging every morning. And I agree with him.
Uh-huh.
He got to talking about how in high school, because Wayne is in charge of FCA for high school.
Yeah.
So he saw Jeremy play a lot of football. And he was saying that last year, that last game, when he was supposed to take his team to the state championship, but they had all these weapons.
Yeah.
You know, basically, they had him. And
they had like 5 D1 prospects on that team.
Yes.
Yeah.
They ended up losing to Opa-locka.
Yep, they did.
Opa-locka ended up going to the state championship that year. I mean, that was the game that decided who went.
Yeah.
Now, this was the same Opa-locka team that earlier in the year, they greased up like 53-2.
Greased them up. In the regular season.
Yes. It seems like when the big stage is on, this is where he falters at. Because this thing, the few spot plays that we saw him, we saw him that one game when he played Sanford or something. Then we saw the first half of Arkansas.
Yeah.
Well, he still knew that he wasn't the guy. Yeah. No matter what he did, he wasn't the guy. So he, I was very relaxed.
There was no pressure on him whatsoever.
Zero. Even against Arkansas, or that's the SEC schools, I know that second half I'm not playing.
That's right. Hey, I get this. I get a free ball. This free play right here. This is offsides, and I get a free play.
Yes. So now, where all the chips are on him, we at the table. You got your cards. It's time for you to put some chips down. It's on him. And I think if you just look at the high school, every year that not just a senior year, every year they get deep into the playoffs, and he throws 3 and 4 picks. It's not a situation where all the other team was just this, the other team was just that, things didn't fall their way. No, Jeremy is throwing 3 and 4 picks. Yeah. That's what happened in that Opa-locka game. He threw like 4 picks.
Yeah.
So now all the chips are on him. He is, man, he's throwing picks like he on the take. I need to start an investigation to see if he's shaving points or something.
He handing out picks like it's Halloween, and he handing out candy.
Yeah, like they tricks.
That's right. Tricks are tricks. He had it out like he trunk or treating. Hey, kids, come get one.
I mean, crazy, man.
That may be the case, man. I mean, you know, I told y'all that's always been my issue with Peyton Manning.
Yes.
And everybody talk about, well, he won a championship. Tony Dungy won a championship. I mean, I ain't going to say what they say, but the sun even shines on the dogs behind every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, after 14 tries, yeah, he should have got one. But Jeremy very well may be one. Peyton never, throughout high school and college, he never won a championship. And he was, 11, 12 years in the league.
Tennessee won a championship with T. Martin.
Yes. The next year they came back and T. Martin took them to the championship.
The next year after Peyton left.
T. Martin didn't even play in the Arena Bowl. So, I mean.
Because he liked to smoke weed all the time.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to fire one up. So,
and a lot of people were harping on the defense. I will say, to say we were running base defense, man, the defense didn't play horribly because, you know, the thing is, the defense gave up 10 points at half. That's not a problem. I mean, when you look at the big scheme of things, it's not a problem.
Right.
We had several key players out that didn't play. We had one starter get injured. We had another starter kicked out on some humbug.
Garbage call.
I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Garbage
call.
But
the thing that offset that was, couldn't nobody, whether you're Auburn, Alabama, Wetumpka Tech, Opa-locka, Industrial Arts, no matter what it is, no matter what fan you are, nobody would have ever thought that at halftime our offense would have only produced 6 points.
That's right, against Jacksonville State.
Yeah, so I'm thinking 28, maybe 35.
That's why I say it should have been 35-0 at halftime.
Yeah, so if the score is 35-10 at half, is anybody mentioning anything about the defense?
Nope.
Who played the whole game? The defense was on the field the whole game. That's we should get 3 and outs or 1 and outs because of the interception.
That's what I said, Drake. I was going to say, you can't really blame the defense. You don't know how good they are because they're on the field all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you're on the field the whole game and you're short staffed, you got 3 true freshmen out there now starting that was in the secondary on the defense in the fourth quarter. I mean, what more you expect, man?
Yeah.
I mean, ain't much more you expect. They did as well as they could. And then, I'll give Jacksonville their credit. I don't know if there's 2 men on the planet Saturday that could have guarded their 2 receivers. Those 2 receivers was catching any and everything that got thrown anywhere close to them.
And dudes, man, another thing people don't realize is Jacksonville State team is full of transfers from Auburn, Alabama,
let me give you
Kentucky,
stats.
Tennessee.
Let me give you the stats, Big Drake. 9 D1 prospects, 6 from the SEC, 4 were from Alabama and Auburn specifically. They starting DN, D-tackle, linebacker, and one of the cornerbacks or safeties was Alabama-Auburn recruits.
I guarantee you, I'm willing to put my money on it, that team would have beaten, of course, Kentucky, of course. Well, Kentucky's kind of good, but at least Vandy.
And they would screw up Vandy.
They
South Carolina.
Beat Kentucky. Yeah, they would beat South Carolina. I mean, we literally played a non-official SEC team.
Yeah, I mean they were a decent. What? Well, no, let me back up. Let me say it like this, Drake. The cap, because of the ties that team has to the team it was playing, that allowed them to, and their talent, they were able to play up to an SEC level team. I mean, because it's not only they got the talent, plus they got, you know, they got, I'm playing against the cat I used to practice against. So I got some in me that want to show you, you know what I'm saying, I'm better than you.
Yes,
and it's a home game for me because I got just as many family in the stands as you do because my school only 108 miles from school. And then too, this was something one of the commentators said. He said most of the guys on that field played against the guys on the other side of the field in high school.
Yes,
and so I'm sitting there saying, dude, I've been burning you all your life. I'm gonna burn you again.
Yes, the only reason why I'm not on this team or in Alabama is because I like weed.
That's right.
I can't get my act together. I still can play ball.
I like weed or I can't read. So.
Yeah. and really, I mean, the head coach at Jack State, he's probably going to set himself up for a big-time coaching job.
Oh, he is.
Just for the simple fact that, okay, in Alabama, we have Alabama and Auburn. That's, I mean, as far as big major schools. You know, UAB lost their program, which is going to come back. So, I mean, and UAB won like 9-10 games last year.
Well, Big Drake, if I'm not mistaken, Bill Clark, UAB's coach, came from Jacksonville State.
If I'm not mistaken,
I had to look it up, but I think Bill Clark came from Jacksonville State. Because he did the same thing. He took all them transfers and built a pretty solid program, and then he propelled that on into a D1 school.
You know, the thing, I mean, you can just sit back. You don't have, you know, like Samford, you know, they have high academic standards. People don't realize that. Samford is a private school, so they have high academic standards.
Oh, they UAB, push out a whole
I'm not
great
sure.
Lawyers.
So what?
They push out great lawyers.
Yes, yes. Jacksonville State is the perfect. So you have people from, let's just say Auburn and Alabama. Let's not forget the Tennessees and Kentuckys where all the other players come from. Auburn and Alabama, you get to stay in state, and all your, like you said, all your people still get to come see you.
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought I mean, it's a perfect place to go.
That's right.
Like, okay, I got kicked out of Auburn. Shoot, I'm not trying to go nowhere for real. I'm just going to go to Jack State. They're going to take me. And you're good.
Now, again, like I say, all that being said, we should have been up 35-0 at halftime.
I agree.
We're not making excuses. Auburn should have been up 35-0. Our talent should be far superior. Our preparation and gameplay should be far superior from Jacksonville State. Their head coach, no matter how good he may or may not be, he is 3 years removed from high school. We should be blowing them out, all right? But Bill Clark, coach, I pulled it up. He went to UAB. He's at UAB. He was at Jacksonville State. He was at Jacksonville State for 1 year. South Alabama defense coordinator before that, and Prattville High School before that. But so he catapulted from Jacksonville to UAB based off, like I say, doing the same thing, bringing in top level recruits in there, not recruits, bringing in transfers, and building a strong program, man. So. Like I say, I don't know, man. It was horrible. So that brings me to the point. What does tomorrow look like, Big Drake?
Man, I would have benched Jeremy. I truly would have. And I think the only reason why he hadn't is because of the loyalty. Because, you know, especially no matter how he, you know, could have or should have, would have played, from the small sample that we've seen, any coach would have taken Jeremy.
Yes.
And to say that he stuck here for 2 years knowing that the hype, he was a better quarterback than Nick Marshall. So everybody said, okay, he's a better quarterback than Nick Marshall. But Nick Marshall's playing, but yet he stuck it out here 2 years. I think Gus feels some type of loyalty to him because he was loyal to us, knowing, especially after those few little glimpses of the short samples that we saw him get now, he could have went anywhere
and started.
I'm bitching him. And I think as a whole, coaching staff on down. Now, I don't, you know, this is just my perspective and what I think. don't have any insight on this, but looking, I mean, just looking at the comments Gus made, now I'm thinking Gus is trying to take pressure off his quarterback and blaming himself when it's clearly, you know, hey, but I'm thinking as a team, coaching staff and all, they're probably like, hey, we're going to keep everything vanilla, vanilla offense, vanilla defense. We're going to let Jeremy do his thing in the passing, let him prove to everybody how good of a passer he is compared to what he did against Louisville last week, and we're going to win, and that's going to be it. Then we'll open up and do everything we need to do for LSU. Well, that attitude almost came to bite you in the butt. Yeah, you know my motto. I mean, blow them out, leave no doubt. I said the other week, last week, if my mama got the audacity to line up in front of me on game day, she can't read.
Yep. Big Drake, so I'm going to go like this. I would have rather have seen Tucker Tuberville come in Saturday.
For real, man. It was, I mean, that was bad, man. It was bad. I mean, I left. I can't watch this. I'm leaving. And if you want to ride home, you leave it too, Boogie.
I want to point out, from a defense standpoint, not having Carl Lawson on the field is significant.
Yes, I agree.
But when Montrevious Adams wants to play, I don't know that there is a offensive lineman created that can block him.
I agree, man. Sometimes he flips that switch on, and sometimes he just, you know, take him a couple plays off.
Watching him play, it reminds me so much of Nick Fairley, the year with Nick.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, he is unstoppable inside. And so, you know, I'm really interested. I was scouring the news today. I did not see where they've cleared that Carl Lawson will play. So I think our defense and help where I pick us in that game drastically hinged upon the availability of Carl Lawson and Javon Robinson.
Yeah.
Those are two folks that I really need to see in a football game. I didn't know Javon was hurt.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, our offensive linemen, we had two or three guys off the offensive line that didn't start. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking, you know, minus Carl Lawson, because he, you know, and maybe not, because I don't have an injury report. I don't know. I'm thinking, if last week was LSU, all of those guys, unless it was a serious, serious injury, all of those guys, offense and defense, that didn't play last week would have played. So, I mean, the whole thing was like, okay, we're going to let these younger guys get some reps. We know you a little banged up, but it's Jacksonville State. We're going to let you rest up because we got LSU next week. I mean, all of that played a factor into us. You know, I mean, I wish we would have lost because if I went to Jack State, and I've said this before on this show, maybe years ago, I hate to watch a football game and one team literally dominates all game, and then somehow the other team just come and steal one. Yeah. We stole one at home of a team that we should have blown out.
Yep, we stole one. We definitely stole one.
I really feel sorry for them Jack State fans. Y'all deserve that win. Really did.
Yeah, because y'all gave it. Y'all brought y'all.
Yeah.
I tell you something else. I felt like we should have fell out of the top 25.
Yes. Yep.
There's no way Auburn would have got any one of my votes to be in the top 25.
Yep.
I would have put you at 29. Because I know there's at least three other teams outside top 25 that probably look better. So, all right, man, who you going with? You going with Alabama? You going with Auburn or you going to LSU? We don't have to pick our game. What's our keys to success?
Well, I'm put my money on water is going to be wet. That's how I feel about that.
I'm betting that there will be a sky above the stadium.
Yeah. I'm going to put my money on that the game will be played in Baton Rouge.
What's our keys to success? What do we got to do to beat these boys?
Beyond our quarterback, the quarterback is a given. But in order for the quarterback to play better, our offensive line has to play better. Even until we went wildcat and opened up the playbook a little bit, because we didn't have our starters in, due to injury or what have you, our offensive line was very mediocre.
Yeah.
So
they didn't dominate the line of scrimmage.
Yes, I'm looking for domination on both sides of this line of scrimmage of the ball as far as offense and defense. And we can dominate. I mean, that's a vanilla statement, but considering our quarterback is playing so horrible, if he can't run the ball because our offensive line can't get a push, and this is going to sound mean, but this is the Main Man Radio Show. Y'all know my heart.
It's our show, man.
Old buddy can beat cancer, but he can't pass block no damn body.
Yeah.
Coleman can't pass block nobody.
No, bro. I did see that. I love him to death. He's a great story. But you know, stories is made for books.
Yeah, Auburn had a great story a couple of years ago, and we still lost the national championship.
That's right. That's right.
I appreciate you. You came back. We kept your scholarships, but you just ain't working out.
You ain't working out. I'm gonna give you plenty of time to tell your story from the bench.
Yes. Get the what the NFL got them. Surface
Pro, you
need the Surface Pro.
That's right.
About the right type.
You give live interviews on the sideline. I'm fine with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do have to dominate.
I think it's the line. Line is the key to the game.
Line got to dominate. Offense and I'm gonna go on the left. I'm gonna say offense and defensive line have to dominate.
Yes. I agree.
Because Fortner, that boy gonna run that football, so we're gonna have to dominate their line of scrimmage.
Yes.
And I say, the given is Jeremy Johnson just has to play better. How long? Okay, here's the other question. How long do you wait before you pull the trigger?
First interception.
First pick.
Well, I say first interception. Now, I do believe sometimes a defensive player can just make an outstanding play.
Yeah. Or if you get tipped from the line.
Yes, if a guy makes an outstanding play, or if it's a funny type of play where it gets tipped and bobbled, I'm okay with that.
But the first crucial mistake that causes a turnover.
If you see him squaring the numbers like you've been doing,
yeah,
come on, it's a boy.
Yeah, come on, sit over here and talk to me for a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, here's another one. Do you go Sean White or Jonathan Wallace?
White.
You go Sean White.
Just because I saw him this spring.
Uh-huh.
And he's a good athlete, man. He really is.
Yeah, he was in high school, too.
Okay, yeah. He just looking at what I saw. I mean, because when I was watching him, and I kid you not, I'm like, oh, my goodness, maybe Jeremy got some competition, which he didn't because, he earned the right just for sticking it out to start. But, like, just watching on the field play, I'm like, shit, old buddy, slam this thing. What? He know the offense. He was a runner. I mean, I was very impressed with him, so I was with him.
And let me tell you this, if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to validate my facts. No, that's the wrong dude. Okay. I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, this kind of goes back to what you said. I think Sean White led his high school team to a championship.
Okay.
I really do. I'm not sure, but he is a redshirt freshman. He may be a true freshman. No, he's a redshirt freshman. Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman. So you said first crucial mistake.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What are you going with?
I'll give you half.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the halftime.
Yeah.
If we haven't put up more than two touchdowns by halftime, and you've made a mistake, it's a wrap. Let's go to Sean White.
Yeah.
And here I told somebody else. Here's my thought process with going to Sean White. If we go to Sean White, we're going to dump down the playbook. If we dumb down the playbook, we're going to go back to running the type of offense that actually allowed us to be successful.
Yes.
That means the short, quick slants, a lot of heavy run plays, jet sweeps, all those things are safe plays. And those are things that makes us a good team.
Dude, it seemed like, I mean, that first year, we ran the dickens out of the ball. I mean, it just seemed like, even last year under Nick, like, it's like, we're not running the ball like we used to. I will say having Robinson back there and not having Robinson back there makes a difference. But we're not even attempting to run the ball.
Nope. But I don't understand, Big Drake. I'm hoping this week Peyton Barber, after 2 weeks, has proven he can take the job.
Yes.
So if that's what the Saturday would have been different to me had in the third. I mean, when we came out of half, Big Drake, nothing's working. You know what, guys? We finna go to run left, run right. And fed Peyton Barber 40 times, I think you would have took the wheel from Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Had you just punished them. You would have just punished them, then we would have been breaking some. I was looking at statistic. Last year, Auburn was ranked number one We were ranked number one in first down rushing yardage or something like that. And number two, we was ranked number one, I think, in yards per carry. And number two in big plays over 30, or explosive plays over 30 yards. This year, last year, we dropped to number six and number 12, respectively. This year, we are ranked six from the bottom. And in explosive plays, the first play we get over 30 yards will be our first one of the year.
Yeah.
So we haven't had any play over 30 yards.
That's ridiculous, man.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Because, I mean, you can mess up and have, you know what I mean? Right. Had one big, oops, we got 30, 40 yards.
Yeah, we hadn't had one run over 30 yards. Not one. Because we did have a screen pass. I think Grock Thomas called it like a 59-yarder, but it was like a wheel route or something.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we got to step that up. All right, so let's hit some other stuff, man. Bama, Ole Miss. I did want to talk about South Carolina got scrubbed by Kentucky. Kentucky is the new South Carolina.
Dude, Kentucky got a decent team, man.
Kentucky has a good coach.
That too. Yeah.
Kentucky.
But last year,
Kentucky was playing.
Yes. Yes.
That was a couple games I watched. I was like, man, Kentucky gonna beat some folks next year.
Yes, and it all falls down. And you know, everybody say this, but it's so true. It all falls down to recruiting.
Yep.
Somehow he's been able to get good people to come to Kentucky.
That's right.
No, it goes beyond the coach. You know, if you ask me. My D-line with the presidents, yes, we had a great defense line. Was it me? No, I helped out a little bit, but I had good players.
Yeah.
I could have been out there teaching hopscotch. Some guys was going to perform.
That's right. Me coaching, my brother's up there at the retreat when I told him about our team because I drove down to coach and we got blew out last week 40-0 by the way.
I'm sorry.
They said it sounded like the coach to me. You know, now not to toot my own horn, but I've been coaching this youth football thing for a little while now.
Yeah,
I don't suck.
Yeah.
Especially offensive and defensive line. I don't suck. I mean, when we first got out there, the middle school coach is our head coach. He said, man, I wish I could let you come over there and coach our offensive linemen. My team just doesn't have the talent as the teams we played.
I mean, yes, that makes a difference. I don't care what nobody say.
We don't have the talent.
You can be the greatest coach in the world, but if you don't have talent,
Coach Williams today said, man, you know how I knew we must have been in trouble Saturday? He said, because when I text you and asked you, when you told me to score, and I text you and asked you, was we scared or lost? He said, your response was, they got goons. I said, yes, that 7, 8, 9-year-old team had some goons on it.
Yeah.
So we just ain't got the talent, man. So I'm with you, man. Talent means a lot. And Stoops he's recruited. But I tell you the other piece, Big Drake, he has the players that were there believing that they're better.
Yes.
Saturday, Jacksonville State's coach, after halftime, he had his players believing they could play at that level.
Yes.
And we helped him believe that. Because they was up.
Yes.
So
they should have won the game.
Yeah, they should have. So Kentucky gonna beat. This ain't the only team Kentucky gonna beat this year. I don't know who else they're gonna beat, but Kentucky gonna get some, get one more too.
Yep.
So I think that coming into the year. All right, man. So let's get some picks in for this week, man. What you think about this Bama Ole Miss game?
I'm gonna go Ole Miss, man. I really am.
For real?
I'm gonna go Ole Miss just for the simple fact I don't trust in Coker, and I think Ole Miss defense is really, really good. So I'm saying Ole Miss's defense is not as good as Alabama's defense, especially that front four, that front seven.
Oh, Alabama's front seven.
But I'm thinking Ole Miss's offense is better than Alabama's offense. So if you have a real good defense with a mediocre offense, I think the real good defense is going to prevail. And if you have a real good offense with a great defense, I think the real good offense can muster up some point somewhere where that mediocre offense is going to struggle. And the only reason why I say the offense is mediocre is because of the quarterback. Of course, the running backs, because see, people sleep on Drake. Drake is the guy to me. Drake is the guy who is typically not an Alabama guy because he is like the Reggie Bush style.
Yeah,
he can run between the tackles.
He ain't a power runner. He's a Reggie Bush. He's a change of pace back.
Yes, he can get after it. So unless Coker just come out there and light it up, which I'll be shocked if he does. I'm not looking at the points Ole Miss put up because they played, Beauregard High School in their first two games. But it all goes back into this. If I'm not mistaken, this would be Freeze's. This is his initial draft class. I say draft, but recruit class. Now they're seniors, and when he stepped on the scene, somehow, some way, he was getting like that first year. He had like the top three recruiting class at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And then he followed that up with another top 10.
He did.
Or at least another top 25. So he has recruited well. And now these guys are juniors and seniors. And I think it's their time. Sometimes, that's just like 2004 when Auburn went undefeated. Everybody was saying, oh, this is just an off year for the SEC. Because they were used to Auburn being mediocre. They were used to LSU dominating, Alabama dominating, Tennessee dominating, Georgia dominating, Florida dominating. Well, that year Auburn dominated. It was our year. Though we didn't get a shot at the national championship, that was our year. We had a fantabulous, I know fantabulous is not a word, but we had a fantabulous team. Like, off that team, literally, like 26 guys went to the NFL.
Yeah, that was everybody peaked at the right time.
Yes. And I think that's what Ole Miss had.
So you know me, I ain't got no faith in no team from Mississippi. So
yeah, you like Jeffrey. Jeffrey does not believe in Mississippi schools.
I do not like Mississippi. I picked Alabama to blow these boys out. Here's the two reasons why. Mm-hmm. One. During the offseason, Hugh Freeze did like to run his mouth a little bit. So he talked up his boys a little bit. Not as much as Arkansas's Brett Bielem, whom I hate. But
ooh, we got to talk about that.
Ooh, I can't stand him. But Hugh did run his mouth a little bit. And so Bama, remember, Ole Miss knocked Bama off the perch last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'd never beat Nick Saban twice.
Hey, you know what? The one thing I can say about Bama, as far as the team and the people that are truly surrounded by the team and have impact on the team, dude, you'll never hear them say nothing. No. Now the fans, they don't yip yap.
That's right.
But you don't never hear the play. You don't never hear them say nothing.
That circle. If you in the circle, you don't talk.
Yeah.
He bring it on the field.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's why I think not only do I think Bama's going to beat them, I think Bama's going to embarrass them. I think Bama's going to impose their will on them. I see Derrick Henry running for close to 200 yards. even against a pretty good defense. I think this is that game where he says, "Here's your ballot for the Heisman." But like I said, because of last year. Yeah, cause Arkansas got who was that beat Arkansas?
Toledo.
Yeah. Toledo.
And he went to running his mouth about Ohio State and Ohio. Cause, man, I don't care who Ohio State play. Ohio State, I know their schedule is not as tough as the SEC competitors, but they got an awesome team. They got just a flat-out great team.
Ohio State would beat Arkansas by 79 points.
Yeah. So he was running his mouth. I mean, why he ran his mouth about Ohio State, I have no clue. I didn't get that gist of it, why. But he was running his mouth about Ohio State and how they don't have to play, competitors like in the SEC, and they got a fluff schedule and this and that.
Yeah,
and then he get beat by Toledo. And what state is Toledo in?
Ohio.
Okay. All right.
He talked too much, man. He talked too much.
Yeah. And how he hates Auburn.
Yes.
You need to start worrying about Auburn and Ohio State and worry about whatever opponent you have that week.
Yeah. Because he did. When I heard him say that, talk about how he hated Auburn. Okay.
Hey, I hate Auburn.
Okay. Okay.
Whoa, bro. Wait a minute. Huh? Yeah.
Come see us. Don't let the fluff.
A couple years. This not even a rivalry.
Yeah. Don't let the fluff school you. Come see us, bro. But first, you need to go see Toledo. So.
Yeah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me because I know you're a stat guy. Isn't Terry Bowden the coach at Toledo?
Yeah, you know what? Because didn't we just talk about this last week?
I don't know.
Didn't we just talk last week? Because you was talking about you watched a great game or something. No, I was watching something, and I said, well, it's Toledo. Were we watching Toledo? Something happened last week, Big Drake. And I said something about Toledo, and I think I pulled it up and was like, I knew that ring a bell for some reason, because guess who's the coach there? Hold on.
You know what? Yeah. Let's check it out.
I swear I think we were talking about some. Man. No. Hold on. No. I don't know if he's the coach there. I thought he was, though.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the coach at Akron.
Oh, yes, Akron. That's it, Akron.
There's another Ohio school. It's Akron.
That's it.
So I was glad Brett got beat, man. He's one of those. He's one of the people. You know what, though, Big Drake? I think he's trying to be the new Steve Spurrier of the SEC.
But then you gotta win some games first.
Yeah.
I mean, gotta win some games. But I mean, I've always said, and I had a buddy at work, I talked about certain things, and he was like, no, you wouldn't, because you're a competitor, and you would want to do this, and you would want to do that. But the more I look at it, I'm disagreeing. Like, he was at Wisconsin.
Yep.
His football style worked for Wisconsin in that league that they were in.
Yep.
And he was dominating. He was, in the talk of national championships. He was in the Rose Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Rose Bowl like 4 or 5 years in a row. But he wanted to come to the SEC. And I was telling my buddy, I'm like, man, let's say I was the head coach at Tulane. And I got Tulane winning 8-9 games every year, and it got to the point where Tulane, because it's Tulane,
yeah,
they're like, hey, you good. We want you to be our guy. And the head coach there now is making 1.4. That's not too shabby. Excuse me. Correction, 1.8.
Yeah.
That guy's making 1.8. That's not too shabby. I'm like, I would stay at Tulane and continue to, to really. See, I personally, this is just my personal attitude. I want to take nothing to something. I want to build up a team and make a program out of it to where at least we're competitive every year. We're going to bowl games every year. We might have 1 year where we win 12 games.
It's exactly what we said about Dan Mullins. Dan Mullins should never leave Mississippi State.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, never leave Mississippi State. You will be a god at Mississippi State.
Yes.
Because you've that built some, like, and they're going to be competitive. Yep. You will be a god at Mississippi State. I'd never leave.
Yeah.
Okay, how many times Florida, anybody else call him, he should never leave right there.
Yeah, so that's my thing. That's what I would do. I mean, he should have stayed in Wisconsin. But then you come to a league, because, you know, he's like, well, I want to play in the best league, which I do agree with my buddy. Like, you know, if you're a true competitor, you always want to be the best or upgrade yourself.
Yeah.
Because he read this Rick Paterno. Is it Paterno?
Paterno. Rick Paterno? No, Rick Paterno.
Paterno. All these names starting to run together on me.
Bobby Paterno. Rick Paterno.
Yeah, Paterno. Rick
was
Paterno.
It Joe Paterno?
He read a book.
Paterno. Paterno.
Paterno. That's it. And how Rick had, he was at Kentucky, he turned Kentucky around. Kentucky was, winning championships, or at least in the hunt every year, won a national championship. And as a kid, he always dreamed of being a coach for the Celtics.
Yep.
And
he got his shot.
You know, he got his shot and left and stunk up the joint and got fired and
came on back.
But, I mean, I understand the competitor and wanting things, but if I'm like, Kentucky ain't no team that you just, that was in the shadows, that arena named Rupp Arena for a reason.
Yeah.
But you were able to make this team relevant again. You just won a national championship. You're probably going to continue to win some national championships, or at least be in the hunt. And you want to give all that up for maybe?
Hey, which column did it? That same thing Nick Saban did.
Yeah.
He had everything at LSU.
Yeah, he failed where he failed.
He gave it all up, went to Miami. And it was like, because he wanted to scratch the itch. I think Nick Saban will never go back to the NFL.
No.
He scratched that itch.
No.
He's like, that's not for me. I'm coming back.
I'll never leave Alabama. When he leaves Alabama,
that's
he will retire from football.
That's right. That's a wrap for him.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. I'm with you, man. And Brett came over here, but the problem is, to your point, he came in running his mouth first.
Yeah.
Anything. And so I for one hope we get every shot to shut him up. If we get the shot, Gus run the score up on him.
I hope so too, man. I mean, run the hurry up so fast that the announcers don't even, in the stadium they don't even have a chance to run the replay on the big board.
All right, let's go down to some more picks. All right, you know who I'm picking in this one. Georgia Tech versus Notre Dame, man.
I'm picking Georgia Tech just for the simple fact Notre Dame, their starting quarterback, is injured for the season. And, dang it, I can't remember. Virginia had them beat, and they stole one. They stole one at the end.
They did steal one.
So I'm going with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the fact they lost the quarterback and their running back the week before.
And you hate them.
And I hate them. Yeah.
Yeah, and you hate
them. Let's never forget that.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah, even if both of them was playing, I'd still pick Georgia Tech, but.
Yes, you would.
I go ahead. I sacrifice one pick in both of the leagues I pick college pickers for Georgia Tech. Every time I see a Georgia Tech game, Notre Dame game, I'm like, well, girl, I'm probably going to sacrifice this one because I can't pick Notre Dame. Nothing in my spirit allows me to pick them. So,
you're funny.
All right, Stanford, USC.
USC.
Yeah.
USC.
Well, Stanford didn't start too well. So.
No, they didn't. They really didn't.
This was going to be a good one. South Carolina and Georgia.
Georgia.
You taking Georgia?
Yes.
I haven't seen their quarterback play.
They got Nick Chubb.
I'll say, you know what? It doesn't matter who their quarterback is.
Yeah, huge offensive line and a huge defensive line.
Yep. Nick Chubb is the difference. I'm with you. I take Georgia on that, too. All right, here's one of the wild cards. I wouldn't normally pick a game like this. BYU and UCLA. You taking UCLA. Now, BYU, BYU coming. Oh, BYU got the Manningham kid that threw the Hail Mary at the end of the game, right?
Yes.
That's all they got, though.
Yeah, and UCLA has a true freshman quarterback, but he is slinging that thing.
Oh, he, something wrong with. Yeah, I did. I heard about that. He walked out his prom to the field almost, didn't he?
Yeah. Throwing touchdown. I'm going with that cat.
All right. UCLA. All right, Big Drake, now, before we get off here tonight, man, last thing, we got to hop to the NFL a little bit. So we talked about Peyton. What did you think about the Mariota versus Jameis Winston show?
Man, I missed it, man.
Oh, man.
But I heard Mariota was almost perfect.
Mariota is the first player since they've been keeping record to score a perfect quarterback rating in his NFL debut.
Wow! So he was perfect.
He was perfect, but you know you don't have to complete every pass to get a perfect rating. There's some other factors that go into it. But he did by the rating system. He played a perfect game.
Mm-mm-mm.
Four touchdowns, no picks, perfect reads, great adjustments from the line, good mobility. Now I will say there's a dramatic difference with his offensive line versus Jameis Winston's.
Yeah.
But I think Wetch Collins' coach still, the Titans' coach is a former offensive line coach, if I'm not mistaken, if that's still the same dude. His offensive line blocked like it. I mean, yeah, they had great blocking, but Mariota, and I'll tell you what else, they had great play calling because their coach ran a lot of plays that moved the pocket for Mariota. So it looked very similar to some of the stuff he ran in Oregon with trying to move the pocket, getting out of the pocket, you know what I'm saying, to make plays and stuff like that. So it was – and I don't know, Jameis looked like a typical rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
He didn't look extra horrible. He just – compared to the day – and, you know, sometimes, Big Drake, you just had those days. You just had those days where everything works. That was Mariota's day. Everything just worked, man. And there was nothing nobody could have did to stop him. So,
well, I'm sorry I missed it. But, you know, the Bucks just don't have a good team.
No, they don't.
It gripes me because Lovie Smith, he made Chicago what they are.
Yep.
He win 19 games, go to the playoffs. They fire him. They have been two, three, ten coaches since then.
Yep.
I know I say this every week. I just don't understand. You have a winning coach, a winning team, but because they're not winning the championship every year, you fire this guy thinking that the next guy is going to do it. You think Mr. Coach. It's that right there really dry. But, you know, that goes back to what I said last week. You have non-football guys in suits making these decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what's reflective in there. Because even the Bucks, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it 4 or 5 years ago when they was balling with Raheem Morris? And then they went and replaced him and brought Greg Schiano. And Greg Schiano only lasted like two seasons.
Yep.
And then they went and got Lovie. So
I think Greg Schiano back in college. He didn't even stay in the pros.
No, he didn't. Because he should have never been there.
You coached at Rutgers, though.
He did. You coached at Rutgers. So you should have never been there, really. You know, really and truly. You know, but I mean, Raheem did. Well, I guess when I look at the stats, it probably wasn't that great. But
now that first year, the second year, one of them years, he had them like leading the NFC South.
2010.
Okay.
So he came in 2008, 2007, 2009. He had a garbage team because he had Byron Leftwich and Josh Johnson as the quarterbacks.
They finished
3-13. And then the next year, when he drafted Mike Williams and LeGarrette Blount, then he took them to 10-6. And then that next year, the wheels fell off. They started like 4-2, and then the wheels fell off because those were the only four games they won all season.
So I
understand why they fired him.
That's rough.
But to me, still, Big Drake, I don't know, do you really make that call in 3 years for a coach that coached a team that was garbage anyway? It is not like Mike Tomlinson that gets a chance to get a farewell decent team. Mm-hmm. You gave him garbage.
Yeah.
So is 3 years really enough time to change the culture and environment of a team to get them to winning football games consistently? And that's the part, you know, that's my Ty Willingham thing, too. You know, that's why I hate Notre Dame.
Yeah, I know.
That's right, Dad. That's why I hate Notre Dame. All right, fam. Hey, we told y'all, even if we can't give you nothing but an hour or so, we're going to try to get here every single week. I went to football practice. On my way home from football practice, I hit Big Drake, said, hey, what's good? Big Drake said, we can do it. I said, I'll be ready in an hour.
Yes.
We trying. We may not be what we ought to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be. We actually taping during football season.
Come on.
Big Drake, I gave my inspirational moments at the start of this thing. You gonna get a fam the next letter of the goblin?
Well, yes, I am. First, I do want to say my high school, Borgard High School, we're 3-0 right now.
Yes, sir.
Throw that out. Tomorrow we play Tallahassee. Hopefully, we'll be 4-0. It should be like an Auburn and Jack State where we should win. We should win big, but you never know.
Big Drake, let me ask you this, though. So
what?
Let me ask you a question. Last week or either the week before last, y'all blew a team out like 66 or something. But their quarterback is a 4 or 5-star rated athlete.
That quarterback is already signed with Alabama.
Yes. I was going to ask you, how did he – the score won't reflect that, but how did he look? Is he that good and the rest of his team just sucks?
He's probably – no, that team has some great talent on it, but – they don't have good coaching.
Oh.
That's just being real. If they had some really good coaching, then they'd probably win state.
Wow.
That's how much talent they had. Now, that quarterback, he more than likely is not going to play quarterback at Alabama.
Oh, no. He's not. He's a safety.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the truth. He's the truth. Now, at quarterback, he did pretty decent. But he's an athlete.
Yeah, I said, they just put him at quarterback because he's the best athlete on the team, supposedly.
Yes, he's an athlete. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I was wondering. When I seen that they played y'all, I said, I'm going to ask Big Drake on the show, you know, was he a real athlete? Was he the real deal as an athlete?
Yeah. But, you know, we dumped him. He left with a concussion, so.
Yeah, I see.
Dumped him right quick. we got some athletes too. I mean, we don't have. I'm just gonna be honest. We don't have no Auburn, Alabama guys, but we got some athletes.
You ain't got no one blow them up all day, but y'all got some talent.
Yes. We got some Jacksonville State and some Alabama State guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, those guys well coached still equals a win.
Yes.
All right, what you got for the people, man?
Okay, I want to stick with the letter G because, you know, G has all the letters have dual purpose.
Right.
Of course, you have the football meaning, and then you have the life meaning. The first time I gave you G, I gave you great, and that is a football and a life meaning. But to stay in G and to stay with strictly just life meaning, I'm a firm believer in giving yourself wholeheartedly. And it goes back to what I said earlier about the little mishap I had with a coworker and how I've moved on, but yeah, she's still feeling some ill will. But, and you said it earlier, even though she probably does not have my best intentions at hand, if she needed me, if we have to go in this house, do our job, and I would make sure she's safe because I'm going to give myself wholeheartedly. And this is just a personal thing, and I want to encourage everybody else to do it. Man, there's so much joy in giving. And when you give, you're going to give it back. Now, if I give you $10, I don't mean somebody else is going to give me $10. But when you give, you know, your blessings pour down in abundance than what you can even imagine it would be. But I want to make this clear to the listeners. We're not giving to get.
Right.
We're not giving to get. You want to give wholeheartedly because it's really, truly in your heart. And I want to encourage people to do that. I want to encourage people to really, if somebody needs some help, and giving is not always monetary.
No.
It can be time. It can be knowledge. It can be this thing shared amongst co-workers and friends, man to man, woman to woman, man to woman. It doesn't have to be people.
It could be just a listening ear, Big Drake.
To what?
It could just be a listening ear, someone they can talk to.
Yeah. Yes. People always think about giving is always monetary. No. But when you really come to a spot in your life, when first of all, so we're going to go back to the first D, when we're being great, and we're being great at everything we do, let's be great givers.
Right.
Let's give our time. Let's give our knowledge. Let's give our heart. Let's give our emotions. Let's give our feelings. Let's give our listening ear. That's what I want to encourage people to do this week. Give wholeheartedly. Give yourself. Give.
Man, that's powerful there, man. That you know, I think to your point that the you know, that's what the Lord asks of us is, you know, are we willing to when seeing our brother or sister, you know, can are you willing to do that to the glory of God?
Yes.
And I was going to try to find a song to end it on, but I'm reminded of the songwriter that says, I give myself away so that you can use me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's to your point. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be It doesn't have to be always other stuff. But
it has to be tangible items.
That's right. But can I give myself away, God, so that you can use me, so that I can be a vessel for you to be able to use each and every day and use it to your fullest, man. So, man, great word, Deborah. All right, guys, thanks. You got it. Give. So we challenge you this week. Find a way for you to give to someone, and I'm gonna stretch you a little bit. I dare you this week, find a way to give to someone you would normally not even think twice about.
Come on now.
I'm gonna challenge you to give, because it's easy to give to those that love you just like you love them. But I'm going to challenge you to give to somebody that typically you would never even think twice about.
Yeah.
And see what God, whether God gives back to you, back monetarily, back something in a blessing, back in just the way you feel from what you do. Or God may give back to you by you being able to see the impact of your love and giving has on someone else's life. Allow somebody to see the love of Christ in you today, this week, by giving to somebody that you normally wouldn't even thought twice about, man. Hey, man, fam, we told you we're going to try to be here every week. We can't promise you how long we'll give you, but every week we're going to try to give you something, man. Hey, enjoy it, man. Hit your boy up, Kingpin. You get me up at Kingpin at Made Man Radio and Big Drake at Made Man Radio, man. Most of y'all got our cell phone numbers as well. Text us if you want to hear something about the show. Man, we got tons of love, Big Drake. Tons of love. I got 5, 6, 7 texts this week talking about how crazy we were in a good way. So, man, folks really, really love to hear us back, man. And family, it warms my heart, man, that you missed us as much as we missed you, man. So, hey, we're going to keep doing this thing. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability, man. We love you. Be blessed. Go out. Give yourself away, man, to see what the Lord does for you, man. Take it easy. Be easy. Be a blessing. Show somebody your blessings by being a blessing, man. We love you, fam. 2 fingers in the air. Deuces.
Peace.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do?
I do it!
You. People have been talking, man. You know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to just do it.
Let me get some more phone money though. Turn me up though.
See the pretty young girl at the church, maybe back, maybe spend the night. Had a little vocal on her in the choir, said she loved Jesus and she had good credit. Few my sins and I'm making you my wife, Judy. She smiled and she asked me how, I said shh.
I'ma just do it.
You been dating that girl for like 6 years though. You live in my faith, or you live in my fear. You gotta be faithful, homie, you gotta be amazing. Put a ring on that girl like Muhammad.
what you doing and that don't excite me. Get out of the way, I'm not asking politely. So affiliated, I'm so affiliated, they know who the squad be. We do what we want, they too good to try, so
I'ma just do it.
I'ma go in, everybody stay down. I'ma go in, my dogs on both sides like a greyhound. But spot don't pass, Wayne left Rikers Island in the battle. That's pretty cool, but great when it reached the Rikers Island. Same day was Stone Valley, number one album looking like. Man, gotta make sense for me, you gotta make faith. Faith the only thing that makes sense. The only type of life in this life that is really worth living is a life that will go and take risks. I'ma go speaking, give me my Jesus. You don't believe it, your man will take the picket. Too many years trying not to rock the boat. I got a tow, I don't wanna rock the boat, I wanna sink. I'ma just do it. I see what you're doing and that don't excite me. Get out of the way, I'm not asking politely. So affiliated, I'm so affiliated, they know who the squad be. We do what we want, they too good to try it, so
I'ma just do it.
Let me talk about how it's supposed to be at a Christmas party right now, but y'all keep keeping me in here. My wife's not gonna let me be on fleek if y'all hurry up. Bubba Watts on the mic now. Can I go for a spit a rhyme? Not a gangster rapper, but my caddy got a nine. KB need a verse. I told him ain't nothing to it. Everybody ask me why, I just look him in the eye and say,
I'ma just do it.
Country boy from the panhandle. Cut country boy from the panhandle. No ball blessings, just God's blessings. Nothing he can't handle. Left-handed, funny swing. Travis Pank, ain't nothing major. Got two masters, no double major. But one master, I pray to thank my
I see what you're doing and that don't excite me. Get out of the way, I'm not asking politely. So affiliated, I'm so affiliated, they know who the squad be. We do what we want, they too good to try it, so
I'ma just do it.
I do it. I'ma just do it. I do it.